The papers are full of articles about New Year's resolutions, and one that made me think was to name my three worst habits. Here goes. Number one, scrolling too much on my phone. Number two, comparing myself with people. Number three, being hard on myself as a result. Today's topic is something that causes a lot of counsellors a lot of unfavourable comparison, and that is professional accreditation. Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. Welcome back to the Good Enough Counsellors podcast. We're starting January with thinking about something that is on a lot of people's minds at the moment, because at the end of the month, at the end of January 2026, the Scopehead transition period ends at noon on January the 30th. Now, why should you care about this? Why does it matter? Well, all it means is that there will now be new routes for you to be on one of the Scopehead ranks. So that's either column A, column B, or column C. Now, if you're someone like me, I've got a level 4 qualification in counselling. When I qualified, there weren't that many level 5 courses around, so I've never actually done a level 5. Many of you will be more qualified than me, I know. But for those of you who are perhaps like me, who have a level 4 diploma, you're going to be on the column A. But if you're accredited, you can move up to column B. So quite a few people are thinking about this at the moment. They're thinking, is it worth it? Should I bother? Is accreditation just some great big, pardon the French, ball ache that I should bother with? And let's just have a think about that, because if you do want to get your accreditation, you've got two options. You can really get a move on and you can do your accreditation before the end of January. This is if you want BACP accreditation. But if you don't think you're going to be ready in time, you then need to think about the different rules that will be coming in from about the middle of February, I think. And this is where you are going to have to demonstrate that you meet the Scopehead competencies for column B. So many people are thinking, I will get my accreditation done now. And I wasn't actually going to record a podcast for this week, but I was thinking about it. I was thinking about some of the questions that are coming up in my Facebook group, because I have a Facebook group called BACP and NCPS Accreditation Support. It's really grown. I started it 3 or 4 months ago. We used to have a chat in the Good Enough Counsellors group. Facebook closed the chat functions down, so I opened a new group and I've already got 1,000 members in it. There's a lot of people who are really interested in accreditation. One of the questions that comes up is it worth it? So I am going to talk a little bit about what accreditation is, what it involves, is it worth it, and should you go for it? And that's what I'm going to cover in this podcast, and I will try to keep it short. So let's just start with what accreditation actually means, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. And I think a lot of people feel that it's just another hoop, it's another qualification, and what is the point? When you're thinking about accreditation, it can be really helpful to understand what it means to be in a profession. It's a word that gets bandied about quite a lot, but there are certain professions, and this is where accreditation comes in, where in order to be a certified professional, there's two key aspects to the process. So the first aspect is actually getting your initial qualification. And this is what, say, lawyers would do. They all sit their exams and then they are articled for a while. And after they've been articled for a while, they can then move on and become a fully fledged professional. And the point of this is that the people who actually judge whether or not they are professional are their peers. The only people who are able to judge whether someone is sufficient standard to be a professional doctor or lawyer are the people who are themselves doctors or lawyers. And if you look at the qualifications, they're all governed by those particular professional authorities and the final say-so as to whether someone can become a proper professional doctor or lawyer is run by their professional bodies. And that's a bit what we aspire to in counselling. So we have our initial qualification, and many of you who are listening will have already completed that. And that is sufficient to practice. We all know that's sufficient to practice. So then it's, well, why would I bother with a professional accreditation? And what it is it's actually showing that you have reached a professional standard that comes after you've been practicing for a while. So you have to have altogether 450 hours professional practice in order to apply for accreditation within the BACP. And remember that some of that 450 hours can actually be gained as part of your placement. So don't panic if you're on, say, 300 hours and you've got 100 hours that you're not counting. Count those 100 hours if you completed those for your placement, because they do count for professional accreditation. But the whole point of professional accreditation is it's saying that your peers, other professionals, have actually decided that your experience, that your knowledge, that your training, that your CPD all adds up to make you a professional counsellor who is worthy of accreditation. And of course, I just want to say at this point that it doesn't mean you immediately become competent overnight, and it doesn't mean that those people who aren't accredited haven't reached those standards. It's just that people who aren't accredited haven't submitted themselves to be judged by their peers. And that is often the true meaning of being in a profession. Now, I don't make up the rules. Don't shoot the messenger. This is just what it's all about. This is the context of professional accreditation. I hope that all makes sense to you. But again, I would just like to emphasise that you don't have to do it. You can be in Scope Ed Column A. You don't need to move between the columns if you don't want, but it might be worth it. And I'm going to just now describe why it might be worth it. There's two main reasons for me, and this is to do with getting work, actually. So quite a lot of the EAPs, insurance companies, you don't have to be accredited necessarily for all of them, but for quite a lot of them, it's another mark of a particular standard, and they ask for it because it shows that you've been judged to be at a professional standard. You're not just a qualified counsellor, you're also judged to be at a professional standard. So that's one reason why you might want to think about it, because you might want to be applying for jobs where they ask for accredited therapists, or you might be applying for extra work as part of your private practice. And then the other thing is, increasingly, because harm in therapy is now in the papers a bit more, people can be a little bit more reluctant to see therapists without some sort of professional recognition that therapist can demonstrate. And often, if you read articles, for example, they will say, look for an accredited therapist. So sometimes the general public will actually be looking for an accredited therapist. I don't know about you, but certainly when I look for someone like a gas fitter, I always check now that they're Corgi registered. I don't even think they call it Corgi now, do they? But do you know what I mean? You actually look for some sort of sign that someone is actually properly qualified. And that can be one of the ways in which people can check that up. As I say, don't shoot the messenger. This is just one of the reasons why you might perhaps consider it. Now, there is one other reason that you actually might like to do it. And this was my reason, because I wanted to demonstrate to myself that I'd actually reached that professional standard. And some people who do accreditation actually say that it isn't actually about the external recognition, that they've actually found the whole reflective work of looking over their work, that they're able to really feel as though that reflection helps them and helps them to feel more confident in who they are. Because obviously we qualify, we know all the theory, but it's only as we practice that we begin to grow into who we are as a professional. And accreditation can be something that can be it can pick you up. It can help you feel like you have reached a particular standard, that you are working professionally, and that can help you. That can help you feel more confident in yourself. You may not need it. You may feel that you're okay as you are. And obviously, everybody's different. But for me, having that, doing the work, and then actually getting the accreditation through, it did encourage me and reassure me that I was on the right lines. And one of the things that often happens, I think, especially if you're working as an integrative therapist, you have to be really careful to demonstrate when you're writing your accreditation that you actually have a unified theory that's holding all these different things together. It's one of the things that the assessors will look for. And I think that's quite important. I think it's quite important to have a sense of grounding in your theory. And it just helps you to think things through and to think about how you've developed as a therapist. So it does move you forward from that initial qualification and that portfolio that perhaps you did as part of your work. And it just helps you to think more about who you are now as a professional therapist. So that for me was one of the benefits of actually doing it. Because let's just quickly run through what you need to do, what the process actually involves. You need to get together all your client hours and your supervision. You need to only count those hours where you've been supervised. If you haven't been supervised, you can't count them. You have to get your supervisor to sign them off for you. You have to show what you've been doing in terms of a case study. You have to show with that case study how that applies to your theory that you're working from. So when I did my accreditation, the case study that I chose was a very, very person-centered way of working, because that was my core theory that I was trained in. So I very much talked about how I worked in a person-centered way with that particular client. And then there's other bits and pieces, obviously, that are important to include. You need to be able to show that you're learning, that you're inclusive, for example, because these are important standards, aren't they? We need to be showing that we're inclusive towards all sorts of different people. It's part of practicing safely and effectively. So it's very much showing how you work and what you're doing at the moment. And the really useful thing to remember is that there are criteria. And I really would like to encourage you that if you have studied for a counselling qualification, you are capable of getting accredited. It's very much working to criteria in the same way that you probably did case studies, in the same way that you worked criteria for your diploma or your degree. It's just like that. So I really think you can do it. And I'd really like to encourage you, if you're somebody who perhaps worries about the academic side, you've already done something very, very similar and you can do it again. So let's just have a think for a moment about what might get in the way. I've just covered one of them, which is that sense of being frightened about the sort of academic writing side of it. And yeah, I do get that. But I do think that if you've written a case study, and you probably have had to write a few as part of what you've already done, you'll be able to do it. And there's so much learning when you're reflecting on your work with a client, and you probably have already written quite a lot of it. If you go back to your notes about that particular client, there's going to be key themes that you're going to be able to pick out. So I'd really like to encourage you that if you have got your 450 hours, if you are working with clients, if clients keep coming back, you are good enough to submit your accreditation. It doesn't have to be groundbreaking. It doesn't have to be massively interesting. It needs to be safe. It needs to be based in what you know, what you've learned, and you need to be able to demonstrate that. But you are good enough to do it. So I would say we can commonly feel like we don't deserve it, that we are not good enough. That is just a thought. That's imposter syndrome speaking. And a bit like I said at the start of the episode, we can so easily compare ourselves with others and think other people must be good counsellors, other people can do it. But let's face it, when you're sitting in front of a client, what are you doing? You're sitting, you're listening, you're using your skills. That's what matters to the client, and that's what you're going to be sharing when you write your accreditation. You're going to be talking about how you work with that client, what came up, what you did as a result of listening to the client, and you're going to apply that to your theoretical base. You can do that. Sometimes I think it can come so naturally to us because we've been trained in it and because we're practicing that sometimes we actually don't realise how we are coming from that theoretical base. But it gives you a chance to think about that, and you can do it. And you don't have to write loads and loads about theory. That's the other thing. You know, it really is about how you've worked with people and showing and demonstrating that you are a professional counsellor, which I'm sure you are. So please don't think, if you are worrying about it, that this is unique to you. It's imposter syndrome. And if you've done any work with me at all, you'll know that I often quote this figure that at least 70% of people suffer from imposter syndrome. It is a thought. It is not the reality. You can choose to believe that imposter syndrome, or you can choose to think to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to take this step by step. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Okay, if I don't get it done by the end of January, that's all right. You know, there's no time limit on it. I can have a look and see what the new requirements are, and I can see how I can meet them. You don't have to become accredited straight away. You can work on it. If you look at it and you think, well, actually, I don't think I've got that yet, you can go away and work on it, can't you? So, you know, it's a whole process, and it might be something that you could aim for in the future. It doesn't have to be done right this minute. So I guess you need to ask yourself, do you meet the criteria? It's easy to find out what the criteria is. Just look on the professional bodies' websites. Is it worth it for you? Is it going to open up more opportunities for you? Are you doing it because you think you should do it, in inverted commas, or because it genuinely feels like the next step for you? What I would say is that this is going to make you smile, because I'd always planned to do accreditation, but what really gave me the big kick up the backside that I needed was that someone who I'd qualified with actually did her accreditation, and she was an accredited counsellor. And I'm afraid to say that my comparison came out. Sometimes it can serve you. My competitive side came out, and I thought, well, I'm going to do it too. So I did it. And I have to say, I have never regretted doing my accreditation. It's something that's continued with me. I am still an accredited counsellor. You know, I renew every year. I make sure I meet all the criteria to renew. And I think it reassures many of you, actually, that it's something that I've done. So I have never regretted it. And yeah, has it made a difference to clients? Probably not. I might have got one or two through private practice who were looking for an accredited therapist. Perhaps it might have helped me for attracting students. I think perhaps if I wanted to go on and be a supervisor, I would probably have found it quite useful as well, but I'm not doing supervision. But yeah, I've never regretted it, actually. It's one of those things where you think, oh, got to do it. But what I did was I got together, as a first step, I got together all the evidence, and I filled all that in, because that felt like not a very exciting thing to do. But it was sort of like it wasn't too difficult. And doing that meant that I was then ready to do the other bits. And I think, to be honest, I left the case study as the very last thing that I did because that was the longest piece of work. But what I did was I put aside a couple of weekends to do all the paperwork, all the writing. So I actually got it done really quickly. Once I got that evidence together, it then only took me another couple of weekends to do it. So I do think if you want to do it for January, the end of January, if you get your skates on, clear diary, you could well complete it. And do come into my Facebook group, BACP and NCPS accreditation support with Good Enough Counsellors. We don't have a huge number of posts in there, but you can post, and the supervisors who have helped people get through their accreditation who can help you out with any answers. And we've got people in there who have now achieved their accreditation as well in the time that the group's been running. So just a few thoughts there. But I'd also like to remind you, if you're listening and you're not sure and you're thinking, no, I don't think I want to do it, that's okay. You can stay in column A. It's not a problem. You know, you're still a good therapist. You can still work away. It might not make any difference to your career at all. But in the future, if you change your mind, it is not too late. So, you know, many therapists will build a private practice on the strength of the work that they do with existing clients by choosing a niche, good advertising, good marketing, which is what I can help you with in Therapy Growth Group, rather than having that formal recognition of accreditation. So what I'd like to finish with is just to remind you that accreditation, it's your choice. It can be a useful milestone in your professional journey, but most importantly, it doesn't measure your worth as a therapist. All it is it's just saying, yes, it's recognition of where you have already reached. If you feel you don't need that recognition, then that's fine. No problem at all. You're allowed to choose the path that fits your practice, your clients, and the life that you're building. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist, or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.